handle on that. In looking at Del Mar, over the meet, I came up with some amazing things, and you have to know these things. What's a long shot? Is it a shipper? How many shippers have won at your racetrack or at the track you're going to? It's very easy when you go to the Midwest. I mean, you go to Remington Park, and you take two racing forms, look through the racing forms, and you come up with a pattern. If a horse comes from Louisiana Downs, you better look out. Right? That doesn't mean he's definitely going to win, but they come, and whether their numbers look right or not, they seem to step up. That could give you the confidence to go back a pace line or two, right, to get a better feeling. But how would you know that if you don't take a look at it? At the Remington seminar, one of my good plays was a pig-looking horse called a really ugly Rocky's First Friend or something that just fit. In looking over 2 weeks of charts, okay, Rocky really fit. Okay, the same guy was bringing him down. He had taken early speed a long way at Louisiana Downs, and he was coming to Remington, and he paid $19. Okay, and you have to get these patterns to do it. It's also important to understand this programming that you have at your racetrack. You know, you get done with 4 or 5 months at Santa Anita when it's early, and you just have this mindset. You head out of town and go to something like the fairgrounds or something. You just can't envision a horse coming from off the pace unless you go through the effort of creating some type of model or pattern. And it comes from the charts. How many people look at the charts of their racetrack every week? I mean, look at them, mark them up, go back, see. I mean, you have to study these charts and make sure that you're not in a rut when you study them. Don't go back and say, yeah, look how I won this one. Who cares? You won that one, all right? Let's figure out what is going on. You could take and run the charts for the past races, your past races, through some of the algorithms we have in the programs like Thoroughmation and pick up things that nobody else has. I mean, some of the deceleration factors that are coming through there are key. I want to point out also that as you're looking at these charts, you've got to be realistic. When you're looking at your race results and how you're doing, there are times, many times, when you don't have that big an edge. How many are there and you just don't feel it? You don't have that edge. You don't know. And you go up and bet the same amount anyway. Anybody do that? Well, I don't know, but what the heck. By the same token, there's times when you will know. All right, and Tom's going to cover some of this today. When you will know that at a specific distance or at a specific racetrack, you've identified a pattern, however subtle it is, that is throwing some winners. This a week period in a two-month meet, a 10-day period in a two-month meet where you pick this up, okay, can make your whole meet because you can bet a percent of bank and you can increase it and increase it and increase it. You got to stop when it stops, but you can really get into it, and when you start to get that feeling, then it's there. The only way to get the feeling is to do the homework and to be realistic when there's nothing there. It's just a normal race, so bet your top two horses. If everything else is equal, bet your top two horses till you find a pattern. A lot of the patterns that the public misses are sprinters stretching out. We have some great tools to pick these things up. Sometimes sprinters stretching out don't win. Last year, horses came down from Golden Gate and won. This last couple of meets, they haven't. There's a specific trainer named Bart Hone that brings 4 or 5 horses up from Turf Paradise every year, and 3 or 4 of them win it, big money. Well, after looking at the chart and saying, how in the heck can a horse from Turf Paradise win, I noticed the same trainer name all the time. Not a proven methodology, but it sure helps to know these things. Who has questions that I can help with as far as getting a handle on a racetrack or playing a difficult track? I haven't had the good fortune to play there yet, but I'm going to tell you that a friend of mine, Paul Boudreau, who you know from some of the Midwest or Southern seminars, he's an attorney that works in Perco and has Thoroughmation. It took him, I worked with him for 2 straight seminars on how to load the program, you know, because he's used to having secretaries do that stuff. And then the next year we concentrated on entering pace lines, And he has become a good handicapper, and he just tore up Blue Ribbon Downs. And then at the fair meet in Tulsa, Oklahoma, he hit the pick six and the pick five a number of times, jumped on the quarter horse races, and he did it by running the horses through thoroughmation. And, you know, there's a time. I went to a track a while ago, and the designated place horses, Doc calls it, was the designated winner, okay? It only took three or four races before I said, hey, I may be on to something here, okay? The designated place horse, as we call it, was winning at that particular time. You've got to go back and take a look at that, and Paul has attacked that. Now, I always probably make, well, not in the last 2.5 years, since I've been in Perko for 3 years, and I think it was about 9 months with Perko before I really started feeling confident and learned to win it. I would say that almost 40% of my income has come from tracks away from home on brief periods. In fact, I remember discussing this with Tom Broham. I guess we make it more difficult at home too, all right? But when you leave, I think the reason is I focus. I go somewhere and I don't know. So I say, let me look at all the printouts. Let me go ahead and run them through the kinetic generator or through phase one as well. Whatever you want to run through to get an additional barometer on there. And you just go back to the basics, just like every football team does at the first of the year. When you go to a new track, you got to do that. You have no right to go in and win money at a track if you haven't put your effort in there. So you have to put a little time in there. And Blue Ribbon Downs, I haven't played. I haven't played Trinity Meadows yet, but we got one of our guys that was there last week or a couple of weeks ago, and he won two of the races, came out real well, and even got a date. So it sounds like my kind of track. So. Other questions? Yes. The question is, which specific readouts am I looking at in the thoroughmation or the energy to determine these factors? I'm looking forward to when they put a print screen in there so we can print these out, because I think the thoroughmation numbers themselves, especially after you project the race out, if you have different distances, are a marked improvement over energy. The numbers are just amazing. The answer is, and I have a model for synergism, phase one, thoroughmation, a sheet that I write almost every factor at for each distance, and I just write them down. And the answer to the question of which ones I look at, it's the ones that are winning for that distance. In other words, you look at all of them, okay, until you start to see a pattern. In the routes, the horse has to be under 1.5 MUV. Well, now I'm going to start paying attention to that. When I get up to 5 or 6 routes and I see that in there, I'm going to say, hey, if it's early, I'm going to see early presser. You're also going to see patterns like Tom mentions in phase three. It's the same thing in thoroughmation, okay? If you look at the numbers, you're going to see that the horse going across the screen, not the ranking so much, but sometimes there's a pattern. It's a 1-1-2-4. Something like, just something that bears out where it's at. For your money, for your profit, it's better when it's subtle. All right? Anybody that's using phase one, you're going to get something on that, but there was a couple of tracks that I've played where the balance number, for some reason, where the early and the late had to be about the same. You get onto that pattern and you just nail it. All right? And you have tremendous tools to model. You have to take a look at them. Now, if you are a master of the matchup, okay, I can agree and say that a lot of these things can be superseded. I am no master of the matchup, okay? When you can go call for call, okay, and stretch the races out by yourself and figure out where they're going to be and determine what place they're going to be, no, you don't need a model because the matchup determines the race, okay? But I'm not that far. There are some people who are, okay? And so why don't you use what the tools that you have, and basically all those matchup tools are put into the programs, especially EXDC, okay? We're comparing things that nobody else even has. If you're comparing final time and speed figures, you're going to be on the favorite. You don't want that. The price is going down and going down. Fields are getting shorter. You got to have a little advantage. And you have some tremendous advantage in here with these tools. And take a look at them. I agree. I mean, we went through the thing about sprinters stretching out and on a race that, that Tom and some people hit yesterday. And there's two ways to do it. You can go through all the models and all that stuff and come up with the horse. Or you, I just ran it through the EXDC and came up with the horse just as easy. So sometimes you wonder why or how, okay? But there's some great tools there. Other questions? Yes.
You go to a track, okay, you're there the first day. What are you going to put through your program? Are you going to put through the result charts from the track that day, or are you going to go look at the winners and pick tape lines for them to put them through?
The first day, let's say I'm going to Remington Park, okay, or a track in the Midwest. I normally know somebody from somewhere. I go to the point of calling Paul Boudreaux and saying, hey, would you send me last week's charts? Okay, because I like to think that I'm a professional. All right, I want to take a look at them. At least I have 3 hours on the airplane, okay, to go through those charts and come up with some basic information. I mean, would you like to know that no horse in the last week has won that was further than two lengths back in a sprint? Is that important? You bet it's important if you're using Thoroughmation or Energy, because if you put a horse, the most common mistake I see in those readouts is you put a horse that's too sustained in there, you throw the old Varigate to sustain or the other, or the one of the EXDC screens to sustain when the horse has no way of getting up. You know, the horse is coming from, he's 10 back on a 45 pace and closes like a freight train, okay? The program picks up that move and now you're ending up with at least half of your Dutch, okay, on a horse who has no prayer because you didn't take a look at last week's charts and get some type of idea. All right, so if I'm going to go to the racetrack, I want to play when I'm there. I'm just like you. If I go to the racetrack and I have one racing form, there's usually one day of charts in there. I'll look at that, and I will take my little handheld or my laptop or something, and I will take a look at the first race and play it with a reduced part of my bank, and I'll try to get a pattern right there today. You can pick up a pattern happening almost at any time.
First race.
I just run it through there. What happened at the first race? The greatest thing is when there's a change during the day. You have the tools to know that. Okay? There's been three routes so far, and you just happen to run through there, and every one of them is, I don't care what it is. It's EXDC early, it's phase one early, whatever it is. Synergism 33 late, whatever it is. You've got your little deal there, what you're using, you run it through there, and you got one more route race. Maybe that's it, okay? And there he is flashing at 20-1. Just take a look at the numbers and run. Sometimes all it will prove to you is that you don't know. And that's good too, because when there's no distinct anything going on, your best number, top two horses, will be there. Other questions? All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Willie.
It reminds me of a story that we experienced at Exarvin. They have two fellows who get on the TV, the closed circuit TV, and analyze the races. And it's wonderful because they're always wrong and the public goes along with them. Consequently, the mutuals are high. The first day we go to the track, the two guys say, well, it looks like there's an inside speed bias today, so let's go for the early speed on the rail. Or the first... Well, next day they get on, well, that didn't work, did it? We didn't win any races yesterday. You know why? Because all the outside speed, closing speed, was coming off the pace on the outside and winning. Third day, well, that didn't work. So today I got a great idea. What's that, Terry? The guy's name was Terry. He says, let's just play the best horses. So what Bill Robinson says is when you don't see any bias, when you don't perceive a bias, play your top two best horses. That's my prescription. When Marion Jones came to us and I said, well, I'd like to be, you know, a teacher here. It's an equal opportunity employer. We're going to, what do I do to become a teacher? I said, well, Marion, to make you a teacher, we would have to be able to drop you from an airplane in a parachute on any track in the United States, and you have to win. He said, any track?
Yeah.
He said, well, listen, I don't want to be a teacher then. I said, why? Because you probably dropped me on Birmingham. But now that Birmingham is closed, we never sent Marion to Birmingham. But Marion is a man who I can tell you, whether it's the United States or Canada or Mexico City or any track in where they have North American pace lines, you could take him and drop him with a parachute. Although he'd rather you just land the plane and send a limousine, and he would win there. So to tell you how and why, here is Marion Jones.
Good morning. I'm proud to be here. When I first got started in the methodology, I didn't realize that there were bad tracks. I had no idea that there were tracks that were hard to play, because I played in that particular time, I was playing in Mexico, and they had every track in the country, booking every track, and I was just playing them all. I didn't know that you weren't supposed to play some of those tracks. And at that time, we were using a calculator. If you ever used a calculator to get feet per second, you know you had to do some work. But I didn't care. We just did the work and played the races. And I would play in Boston. It'd be raining cats and dogs, and play Chicago. Didn't know the difference. Calder, they said Calder was, later on I found out Calder was supposed to have been a bad track, hard track to play. I was betting Calder every day. It was running, looking forward to playing Calder. You know, everybody have different needs in regards to what they're going to look for when they go to the racetrack, and how they perceive racing, and what they must have in order to have some information for how they're going to bet their money and what have you. When I go to a racetrack, I just look at the horses. I don't look at much else. I don't care much about the track. I played Agua Caliente. They said that was poor. They said they had poor horses. I didn't see no difference. I won with them. I would win. Glenn Smock used to come down there, and we'd go to Caliente. We have one hell of a time. Because of the fact that what I do is I look at the horses in the race, because to me every race is different. I don't give a damn how they ran yesterday. They're not going to run that way in this first race today, because you're not going to have the same horses running in the first race today that you had running in the first race yesterday. And you better know that. So you better be able to know form, to be able to select pace line and look at the horses that are in condition to run today, and horses that have been running over this surface are coming in from a new surface, and have the form, have the class to beat these in this particular race. That's the way I look at it. I was out at Del Mar a few years ago, it's been about 3 years ago now, and I had played hard Del Mar and won a tremendous amount of money. And after the Del Mar meet, and some of the guys were crying about how hard Del Mar was, and I just never did figure out what they were talking about. But I was tired, and I took a rest. Howard told me to take a rest. And then when I decided to go out to Fairplex in about 10 days, maybe about 6 days, and the first race I'm going to bet at Fairplex, the two horses are in the 9 and 10 post position, and both of them are 20 to 1 and better. So the guy that's commenting on the race, I had made my bet and bet the exacta and bet both of the horses to win in place. He says, nobody, we don't have to worry about those horses out there in the 9 and 10 holes, because nobody's won out there this meet. So they ain't making a comment. They were talking about the other horses and in the inside post position, you know, and he's going to make the turn and all that stuff, and I got my money on these two horses. So I wonder, was there something wrong with me or something wrong with them? I said, well, we'll wait and see. I told Glenn Smock, we'll wait and see what happens. The horses break out the gate. My two horses move right up to the first turn and makes the turn beautiful across the bull ring track, you know. And they make the turn beautifully and they head down the backside and they got the lead. And they took the lead wire to wire, 1-2. One of them paid $40-some to win, $46 thing, $19 to place. The other paid about $19 to place. Then the exacta paid $474. So I thought that was a good way to get started. But I didn't look at nothing but the horses. I looked to see how that horse race was going to be run. And the way I figured it out, that those two horses were going to make the lead, and there was nobody could get close to them. So I didn't see anything wrong with that track. This same thing this year. At Fairflex Park, all the guys told me the last day of Hollywood, I was out there betting, oh, I'm not coming out to play that Fairflex. I said, well, I'll be out here. First day I go out there, first horse, first race I play, $19.60. I was using Thermation. I just looked at the race, made a contender selection. Four horses was about an average of four horses to a race that could run. The rest of them were just in there. And I was putting about an average of about four horses in the computer, going out to the track and winning. I'm looking here at one particular day where in Thermation, in the printout in the various, it gave me the low horse was Scorpio, something Scorpio. But then there was a horse in there, Joe Nasser, who had a .30 and a point in the EMUV and a .30 in the SMUV. Now that always means that that's the place horse. We've been knowing that from energy. So you know how they ran? 1-2. That's the way they ran. 1-2. The place horse ran in the place horse position, and the horse that won, he paid $25.60. I forget what the place horse paid. I played the place horse and played the win horse. But that's the way I perceive racing. I see it that one horse just, if I can find, I'll find the early horse, and he's going to, the horse has got to have to make the lead. And when I find that horse, I know the rest of them going to take off after him. And I can figure out pretty well whether he's going to get tired or not and somebody's going to go by him. And I run them through Thermation. I run them through Energy. I used to run them through Phase 3. The horse program. We had an old program called the horse program one time. Thank you.